before, much before.
You took care of her then?
Yeah, much before, I believe. That was earlier in his life. John 21, verse 1. Jesus is appearing to his church. We call them his disciples, but we know that this is a church that he's appearing to. And he is giving them some last-minute instructions before he leaves. How long did he visit with his church after his resurrection, Pamela? Roger?
40
days. All right. And then they waited for how many days before the Holy Spirit came upon them as the Comforter? 10 more days. All right. So it was 50 days in all. Well, here we have Jesus appearing to his disciples. Now, he's in his glorified body. He has died on the cross of Calvary. He has been buried. He has been resurrected. And he's still doing miracles. Okay? Because he is the Lord of the universe, isn't he? Adonai ha'Adonaim. What does that mean, Brother Roger, in Hebrew? King of kings and Lord of lords. Yes, he is. One of these days when he comes back finally. He came first time riding on a donkey, a white donkey into Jerusalem. Next time he's going to come on a charger. On a stallion, a steed. All right. 21 verse number 1. Meditata. Ephanorosen. Hiaton. Pauline. Hoesus. Tois mathetes. Epites thalases. Tais. Tiberiados. Ephanorosen. De autos. After these sayings, that's one of John's favorite things, meditate. After these sayings, he made himself visible. That's what it literally says. He made himself visible. The word is phonerio. All right, see that down below that? This is third person singular, first aorist, indicative active. He made himself visible. Again, see that word? Reflexive pronominal adjective right down there, hiaton. You want to get there? And then we have a little adverb of time and repetition here. Again, Pauline, the Jesus. Now, ho Jesus, tell me a little bit about this. What's that definite article in front of it? Nominative singular masculine. Definite article. Can you say that in Greek? How do you say definite article in Greek? The definite article. To haristikon arthron. Okay. The Jesus. So now Jesus is the case. It's the subject of this sentence, isn't it? To the disciples. Tois mathetes. Tell me a little bit about tois there, Sharon. Watch your spit that right out there by the mic.
Two. Okay, that's the one that's two or from, right?
Yes, two or four.
Two or four, okay. Because the disciples is plural, it's plural.
Yes, that's right.
But I don't know what...
It's dative plural masculine definite article and dative plural masculine noun. Okay? Epites thalases. Epi is a preposition, page 153 and 154, if you want to write that down. In that little analytical Greek lexicon. Tais thalases. And that's genitive singular feminine. Definite article, genitive singular feminine. Upon the sea, thalasse. What sea is it talking about here? Actually, more like a lake, but they call it a sea. All right? The Sea of Galilee or Gennesaret. The Sea of Galilee is under sea level. How many feet deep is it? It's very deep.
600
about 600 and something feet deep. And what else does it have in the bottom of those of that sea? Because it made the Dead Sea full of salt. What is in the bottom of the Sea of Galilee?
Salt springs.
Salt springs coming from the Mediterranean, because the Mediterranean is higher than there. Okay, and it went down there, and that's why we have a salt sea down there, which we have what we call the Dead Sea. Because for all those years, all that salt ran down. And besides that, God turned Lot's wife into a pillar of salt down there also. The Sea of the Tiberias. Tiberias. You have to realize now this is not Galilee anymore, but Tiberias. Why is it using the word Tiberias here? Huh?
Emperor Tiberius?
What?
The Emperor Tiberius?
The Emperor Tiberius Caesar, yes. Tiberius was a Christian, wasn't he? And he protected the Christians. Who converted Tiberius? Pontius Pilate converted Tiberius. All right. And Tiberius, also in Tiberius, there would become a rabbi school, wouldn't it? This is where we have the Jerusalem Talmud. This is where it takes place there. And so this is called Tiberius because now this is written much later. Things have changed. The whole topography has changed. Okay? And he made himself visible, and thus, in this matter, hutos is this matter, thusly or in this manner. 21 verse 2 now. Ason, Humu, Simon, Petros, Kai, Themos, Ho, Logomenos, Didymus, Kai, Nathaniel, Ho, Apo, Kana, Tais, Galileas, Kai, Hoi, Tu, Zebedu, Kai, Aloi, Ekton, Matheton, Alto, Dio. And there kept on being together Simon Peter. Simon means what? What word does that come from in Hebrew, Pamela?
One who hears.
And how about Peter? What's Peter mean?
A little stone.
Well, you're getting A pluses all over tonight. All right. And Thomas. What does Thomas mean?
Twin.
Thomas.
Twin.
Okay. The one being called Ho Logomenos, the one being called twin, and Nathaniel. What does Nathaniel mean, Brother Roger? Huh? It comes from Natan and El.
So
Natan and El in Hebrew. It's a Hebrew name. Natan is to give, or gift, and El of God. Gift of God. That's what his name. A gift of God, Nathaniel. The one, now we have here, we have a hole there. Hole, right here. And in that hole, that's a definite article. It's nominative singular masculine and definite article. But what's there also? What do we understand to be there? This is what we call a practical substantive. That's why we say, we don't just say the, but we say the one. And then apo, that's a preposition from Cana. What does Cana mean? Cana. It comes from the same word, Hebrew word, Cain. Cain. The land of Canaan.
I've gotten.
Huh?
It would be the I've gotten.
It means acquired or gotten. Acquired or gotten. Of the Galilee. And what does Galilee mean?
Circle.
Huh? Circle. Okay, now name some of the prophets from Galilee. Remember, they said no prophet came from Galilee because they just lying. What kind of what prophets came from Galilee?
Jonah,
Elijah, Elisha, Nahum, and Jesus. All right, let me repeat that. Jonah, Elijah, Elisha, Nahum, and Jesus came from Galilee. Plenty of prophets came from Galilee, didn't they? If you want to call Jesus a prophet, he was a prophet, all right, but he's also God the Son. And the one sons of Zebedee. Zebedee means what? That's a different word. It means giving also. And others, different ones, out of the disciples of the church of him. Disciples means, mathetes means what? Do you remember what that means?
Habitual
learners. All right. 21 and verse 3 now. Lege autois Simon Petros Hippago. Yes, let's do that again. Lege autois Simon Petros Hippago Aleuen Logosin, Autol, Etarkamethah, Kai, Himes, Sin, Sui, Exelthon, Kai, Enna Basan, Ace To Ployon, Kai In, Akine, Te, Nikti, Epiason, Udain. He says to them, Simon Peter. Simon Peter's always saying things, sometimes when he shouldn't. He says to them, Simon Peter, one who hears, and then the little pebble, I go to fish. Let's go fishing. That's what he said. Let's go fishing. I go fishing. Now, what was Peter's job? What was his occupation?
Fisherman.
Now, I'm going to tell you something about fishermen and about farmers. People always talk about dumb fishermen and dumb farmers, don't they?
Well, they do. Do they or not?
A guy that's farming has got a lot of time to think and a lot of time to study. Especially with modern devices. Back in those days, they would be plowing and going and doing what they did, they would recite poetry and the Bible and history and all of this in their heads. And of course, fishermen can do the same thing because they go out there and the biggest part of their problem is what?
Waiting.
Waiting, you know. All right. To fish. And they say to him, we're coming. Erkamatha. That first person plural, present, indicative, middle voice. We're coming for ourselves. We want to do this too. I want to go. Also, here we have Kai as a cumulative particle. That means also, or yes. We with you. And they went out, third person plural. Now, it's first person singular or third person plural. It can go either way, but we know it's first person singular. According to what? Context or syntax. Second aorist, indicative, active. And they pushed off. Ace to ployon, into the boat. And in that one, that one over there, echinos. That's a demonstrative pronoun, but it's that one there, in the night, te nicte. What word do we get from this word nicte?
Night.
Night. How is night spelled? Night. Okay. And how is this one spelled? Do you see that? Do you see the resemblance of that? That's exactly where it came from. The night. What is night? What is night? After dark. After dark. Most of the time when people fish, they fish a lot of times after dark, don't they? You go out in the ocean. Now, a lot of people don't fish out there after dark in the ocean. Like they do in the daytime, the fishermen, you go out in the daytime because it's pretty dangerous out there. When you get out there in the ocean, it's non-forgiving. You have to have your act together. They do commercial fishing after dark, and that's when the fish are just moving along, you know. In that the night, and they caught udamia, nothing, udain. They didn't catch a thing, not one thing. Now, one time before, when Jesus approached them, they hadn't caught any fish. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. Proes, day, a day, genomenes, este, esus, eston, aegilion, u, mentoi, a deson, hoi mathete, Hote, Jesus, Esten. Early in the morning. That's what it means. Early in the morning. And early in the morning, a day, that's a little adverb, and that means already having come. Already having come. All right, that comes from Gittimai. He stood. Third person singular, secondary, indicative, active, Jesus. All right, Jesus is doing the active. Jesus is nominative singular masculine here, isn't he? Aston agelon. Agelon. Unto the shore, against the shore. Not, however, they knew. They knew. Look at that word, third person plural, pluperfect. They had known. They didn't know this. They didn't know he was there. They had no idea Jesus was here. What had they done? They'd gone fishing. Nothing else to do. We may as well go make a little money, because that's how they made a living. Okay? The disciples, these church members, that Jesus it is. They didn't know it was Jesus there. 21 and verse 5 now. Now they're reminded of former times. Lege un autois hoesus paidea, paidea that is, me te prosphagion ekete apokritheson auto u. And he says, therefore, to them, to Jesus. Now, the there is in brackets, isn't it? Double brackets, which means it wasn't really there. But we can see it. Jesus said, therefore, him. They're talking about the Jesus here. You don't have to have that the in there. It wasn't in the original manuscripts, but they put it in there so you can understand it better. It's not inspired. That double brackets is not inspired. All right? Paideia, paideia. What about paideia? Penny, how many children did you have?
Three.
Three children. Do you remember when they were little shiners?
Yes.
Little bitty guys. Little bitty children. Mm-hmm. And what this is what the word means, little children. Little children. This is my little children. The Apostle John loved to use this word paideia. Little children, little children, little children. But you know where he picked it up from? Jesus. Jesus. Now, these were grown men, weren't they? But Jesus called them little children. Little children. Because they were young children, weren't they? They were still learning. They were young children. Paideia means what? Pais means what? You remember what pais means? You remember that, Sharon? Pais? How about it, Roger? Pais. Paideion. What?
To walk. Just done the walk.
They're walking children. How about it? Do you remember that, Corey? These are the spanking children. These are the ones that, the pedagogues, these are the ones you correct. These are the ones that are old enough to understand and correct, and you start training them and spanking them up straight. That's what it means. Literally, it means spank up straight. All right? But it means little children. Little children, not any food. Prosphagion. Prosphagion, don't you have anything, any food close to you? Pros, that means close. Any close food? Do you have any food? You have? And they answered to him, no. I hadn't caught any food. Now fishermen, I used to like to do this. I'd go out fish in the ocean, and boy, when we got back, we'd clean those fish and cook them right. Well, we'd put some of them away, but we'd cook some right there. And have fish right there. So normally what they would do is they would go to shore and they would cook those fish, and they would have food to eat. And the first food that you eat in the morning, what do you call that, Penny? You remember?
Breakfast.
What does breakfast mean?
Breaks
your fast. You've been fasting all night long. And so now they break their fast and they eat. They break fast. That's what breakfast means. Breakfast. They broke their fast. But they don't have any food. No food. They got skunked. No food. Did you ever go fishing and get skunked?
Mm-hmm.
Not catch anything? All right. You needed a good guide. One time I went up in the White Mountains and I took my friend with me. He was a great big old Cajun boy, old Travis Patterson. We went up there and I said, I'm going to teach you how to fish. So I took him up in Wyman Canyon, and we were fishing for these wild trout. Wild trout see you, and they will run and hide. You can't catch them. So I went up there and I caught about 10 trout, and I think I helped his son to catch a trout or two, and maybe his sister to catch a trout or two. And he was sitting there and said, "See, I can't catch any fish." I said, "Travis, stand right there." I said, "Stand right up on the bank right there. Stay there. Don't go anyplace else." I went downstream and I walked upstream and I chased all these fish right back up there into this little waterfall, and they couldn't go any further. And I reached down there and I started hand catching fish and throwing them to him. I said, "Catch." I said, "Don't tell me you didn't catch a fish. You got an Indian for a guide." He was all excited about that. Number 21 and verse 6. Aye, aye, Captain. All right. Now, before, when they had gone, Luke 5, 4 through 10. Luke 5, 4 through 10. You know, Jesus was a stonemason. Everybody calls him a carpenter, but he was not a carpenter. He was a stonemason. All the evidence proves that he was a stonemason. When Joseph went down into Egypt, what did they do in Egypt? They take great big stones and make little stones out of them and make little, you know, that's what they do. He was a stonemason. But they carve stones too, don't they? All type of things they do out of stone. Well, evidently, Joseph was a stonemason, and Jesus was a stonemason also. That's why he said the stone which the builders rejected. He always used these building terms about stones. You build a house on what? On a rock. You don't go out there and start putting stones on top of sand, do you? These are all building terms of a stonemason, not a carpenter. They didn't build houses out of wood, did they? No. The only thing they built out of wood were parts of plows, sometimes plows, handles, whatever, you know, not very much. They didn't do much wood work. Hodei epen. Autois. Balete. Eista. Dexia mere to ployo to dictuon, dictuon that is, kai uresete e ebalon un kai ukete apo il el kisai escu on apo tu plethus ton ek. Ichthyon. And, or moreover, the Jesus, or the one, is talking about them. He said, the one there, that's a practical substance. You can put Jesus in there if you want to, because it's a noun there, the one or the Jesus. He said, third person singular, second aorist, indicative, active, dative, plural, masculine, third person pronoun, autois. Balete. Balete comes from what? What's the word down there below it? What's the word down there? Balo. What English word do we get from balo? What do you throw? A ball. Okay. We get a word ball right out of that word. Ye cast eista dexia to the right side. And to the right side, unto the right parts, literally, of the boat, the net. Now, Peter was a fisherman and a captain, wasn't he? Jesus was a stonemason. Before, in Luke 5, 4 through 10, we won't go there, but one time in Luke 5, 4 through 10, Jesus was standing on the shore, and they said, "Have you caught anything?" And he said, "Nothing." He said, "Throw your nets over here." And they said, and Peter looks at him and says, "Yeah, stonemason." "Yeah, aye, aye, captain." That's what he says. "Aye, aye, captain." He calls him captain. Because he thinks that, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm a fisherman. You're not a fisherman. Okay? I'm the fisherman, Jesus. So he throws the net over there, and man, there's a big bunch of fish. So now is a second lesson. That Jesus is Lord of the fish. He's Lord of the weather. He's Lord of the birds. He's Lord of the fish and everything else. And of course, Peter had already, he said, "Go and throw your line in over there as an angler, you know, like a fishing hook. Throw it in there, and the fish that you catch in his mouth is going to be what, Pamela? You remember Penny? Mm-hmm. What was in that fish's mouth?
A coin
that was going to pay the temple tax for Peter and Jesus. Okay? Peter and Jesus. All right, now he tells them to cast it to the net on the other side, the dictyon on the other side, and you shall find. You shall find. Look at that word, heuristete. It comes from heurisko. And you shall find, and they cast therefore, and no longer it to drag. They couldn't drag it. They were able. From the multitude of the fishes, the net was full. Again, Jesus was the Lord. And this is after the resurrection. This is glorified Jesus, okay? 21 and verse 7 now. Lege un ho mathetes, ekinos un agepa ho esus, to petro ho kyrios, esten simon un petros akousos hote ho kyrios esten ton. This is a long verse, people. Epe detain dia zozato ein gar gymnos kai ebalain hiauton eis te thalasse. Now Peter was stripped down to his underclothes. Okay? He's taken his robe off. How many of you ever, can you swim very well in a robe? No. That's like trying to swim in overalls. One time I tried to swim in overalls. I used to wear overalls a lot, bib overalls. And I went to the coast over there about 40 years ago. Just about, I think about 40 years ago. Exactly. I went to Port St. Louis, and I took my boat out. I had a 14-foot boat at that time. We went out in the ocean, and I was going out every day. I just kept going out every day. We just stayed there and kept going out every day. So I told my children to stay on the shore, and they said that the taxi service wasn't going to go. They'd go take us in, but the guy wasn't going to be there. And so he said, you better go rent a little rubber, one of these blow-up boats, and put it out there. And he said, you can go get it right over there in Avila. So I went over there and I got this rubber blow-up boat with an oar. And it was like $175 for this boat. That's what I had to pay down. I was going to pay $15 or $20 to keep it overnight, but I had to put this big deposit down. So anyway, I took it out there, and when we went out, we came back in, and I put my family off on shore, and I had to oar myself in because the buoy was about a mile away. Well, I had overalls on. Well, I told the guy before, I said, I can swim that far. I just have to take my overalls off because I could swim that far back then. 40 years ago, I could swim a mile easy. Anyway, I ended up swimming. The boat sunk. I ended up swimming with my overalls on. Put my shoes in the boat, had to put the oar in the boat, and pull the boat. I felt like Jack LaLanne when he used to pull the boat across San Francisco. They told me, don't go out there because there's a lot of sharks in here, especially great whites. And they come out after dark, and this was like 9 o'clock at night. It was dark. And I'm swimming in. I'm late. I'm bait, you know. Well, I was trying to be as quiet about this swimming business as I could. Without splashing around. I'm no splashing, you know. And I was swimming, and I swam that mile, pulling a boat in my overalls all the way back. When I got there, I could hardly get out of the water. I was so tired. He said, you'll just be bait out there if you try to swim. Well, I made it. I wish I hadn't rented the boat, because it was hard pulling a boat. I could have put my swimming suit on and just went in there real quietly and just had a good time. But pulling a boat with your overalls on wasn't easy. So now Peter is going to take his clothes off. He's going to take his robe off. Then he says, therefore, to the disciple, that one whom he kept on loving. Look at that word agape now. There's a lot of words for love in Greek. I want you to know. There's a lot of words for love in Greek. (Clears throat) In Liddell and Scott, the word phileo, which we're going to run into in a minute, phileo, which means I'm greatly fond of, I fond of something. There is 11 pages in Liddell and Scott, and that's really compact, small print pages in this great big lexicon that is this wide by that and about that thick. There's 11 pages of compounds of the word phileo. But here we have a very unusual word which means godly love. This means sacrificial love. This means I'll give my life for you love. But when we come to the word, there's a word storge, which means family love, like you love your children. And it's used several times in the New Testament as astorge. No family love, and we see that so much common in our world today here, don't they? People, mothers that have children, they don't care anything about them. They just use them as pawns for whatever they can get out of them. That's bad. That's Adamic. That is ungodly. We have the word eros, which means we get a word erotic from, which means a sexual attraction. We have the word phileo, which we have 11 pages of compounds of that word. And some of them are, people like hot, people like cold, people like boys, people like girls, people like kissing, people like brothers. What is that word for brothers? Philadelphia, brotherly love, okay? And the mater, phila mater, phila aner, mother, father, love. You can have all these kinds of love. My name is Phillips. My name comes from philo and hippos. That means I love horses, to love horses. Okay, that word is one of the words from phileo. Okay, we have the word to love cows, to love solitude, to love parties, to love sex, to love kissing, to love arguing, to love fighting, to love debating. All of these words are from this word. To love gambling. To love yourself. We get our word hedonistic from that word, philohedone, hedonistic. To love yourself, to love music, to love painting, to love poetry. There is nobody in the world loves poetry more than Arabs. Arabs make poetry of everything. Everything. And that's basically how that Muhammad wrote his Quran, is poetry. He was a kind of a master poet, so-called. Let's go on back here now. The disciple whom loved the Jesus to the Peter... the Lord it is. Okay, John says to Peter, it's the Lord. And Simon, therefore, Peter, having heard that the Lord it is, the outer coats he girded to him to himself, and he kept on being, for he was naked. He was running around without his clothes on because he was getting in and out of the boat, adjusting the nets. And he threw himself into the sea. Now, he throws himself into the sea what? Naked. Okay? But he's got his clothes with him. He's taking his clothes with him. He was stripped for work. Stripped to get in the water when he needed to. 21 and verse 8 now. Hoi de aloi. Matete to ploi ario. Ason, Athon, Elton, that is. Uk gar Ason, Makron, Apo tes geis, Ala hos Apo, Tokon, Dia Kosion, Sirontes, To Diction, Ton, Ik. And the other disciple, in the disciples in the boat, they came, for not they kept on being far away from the land, but about 100 yards, about 200 yards, that is, about 200, basically 300 yards, or 100 yards or 300 feet, okay, 100 yards or 300 feet. 300 cubits. 200 cubits is how much? about 300 yards, okay? Dragging the net full of fishes, all right? 21 and verse 9. Hos un apa beson, ace tain gain, bleposen, anthrakion, ke mian, kai, oferion, epi ke menon, kai arton. As therefore they disembarked, cast off unto the land, they see glowing coals. And this is where we get a word anthracite from it. Okay, this could actually be coals or coals of fire. In other words, there's no fire. This is like a coal fire, okay? Lying, and fish lying upon and bread. So he had bread and he had fish for them cooked. Jesus did. He already had their breakfast cooked. They didn't catch anything, but somehow he said, and they came to him. He had no problem doing that, did he? Talk about going and I've seen people catch fish by hand. I've caught fish by hand. My family used to go by. How many of you know what noodling is? You know what noodling is?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that's when you go back and, well, that's what I did up there when I caught those catfish. But people are not catfish, but trout. But my family used to be noodlers back on the Red River, all back through Oklahoma and the river in Falls Valley and everything. They would go jump in the water. Usually they tie a rope around their waist. They'd go jump in the water back there. And how many of you have been swimming in a river like that? Anybody? You have, Brother Mike? You go in a river like that, the water is not moving real fast. It's just kind of moseying along because it's pretty level, but it's moving. You go in there, and you know where holes are in the bank. And holes in the bank, you've got snapping turtles. You've got
cottonmouth.
And you've got catfish. They'll sit back in these holes. And so what you do is you go back in there, and you run your hand along that bank, and you feel it real slow. You run your hand real slow, and you can feel a catfish breathing. And then you take your hand and you put it right in that catfish's mouth and run it and you grab the outside of that gill and you pull out with him. And what you get is a whole lot of those little thorny, like a catfish has got a mouth almost like a shark. It's got little, many, many teeth. And that catfish is going to lap down on your arm and he's going to start pulling and you put your hand and it comes out the gill and you pull him on out of there. And just in case you're bigger than you are, you got a rope there with somebody else to help you pull you out with a catfish. But my family, their arms, some of them would be tore completely up. There was just nothing but scars on their forearms. Noodling. All right. Jesus didn't have to noodle for these fish. He just said, and they could jump in his hand. Then had to go through that wrestling match. Legae autois. Hoesus, anegkate, apoton, ops arion, hon epi asate, nin. He says to them, Jesus. What's the subject here? How do you know it instantly what the subject is in this verse? Ho. Brother Roger. Ho is the definite article, is nominally singular masculine, which is the subject. So Jesus is the subject. And Jesus, he says to them, ye bring, he's telling them to bring, from the fish of which is ye have caught now. Now he's going to tell them, bring some more fish. Bring some more fish. We're going to cook more fish. Okay? We're going to cook some more. A little neen, that's an adverb of time. 21 and verse 11. Anabe un Simon Petros kai helkisen to diktion eis tangain meston ikthion megalon hekton pentekonta trion Kai, Tosonton. Honton. Uk. Iskiste. To dictyon. Therefore went up Simon Peter, and he dragged. Look at that word dragged out. El kison. He dragged, third person singular, second aorist, indicative active, the net. Have you guys got the picture here? Now Peter's out there in the water. That's why he's naked, because you can't swim very well with overalls on, you know. Like I told you before. Like to kill me. The net unto the land, full of fish great, 153. Look at the word pentaconta. What's pentaconta mean? 50. Pentaconta, that means 50. Pentecost, that's where we get a word. Pentecost is the 50th day. All right, and 3. 150 hecton, that's 100. Hectare, 100. Hecton, and 53. And so many being not, it was torn, the net. All right. The net wasn't torn, but it was so full it could have been torn up. Nets were very, very precious. They went out there in the areas and they would dry their nets and mend their nets all the time, drying and mending nets. 21 and verse 12. Lege autos. Hoesus. Deite. Ariste sate. Udes. De. Etolema. Ton matheton, exe tase, auton, si, tis, a, edontas, hote, ho, kyrios, esten. And he says to them, the Jesus, ye come. Ye come. That little exclamation there, ye come, a particle of exhortation. Ye come to breakfast. Ye come to breakfast. To eat. Second person plural, first aorist, imperative active. Moreover, are not one, and they kept on daring. Look at that word, third person singular, imperfect, indicative active. They kept on daring of the disciples to question him. You who are, having known that the Lord it is. They knew, they didn't know it was the Lord, but now they were going to realize this is the Lord. Okay? John recognized him, didn't he? Okay. Erkete, Jesus, Kai Labane, Ton Arton, Kai Didosen, Autois, Kai To Opsirion, Homeois. And he comes, therefore, and he takes the Jesus, that is, and he takes, look at that word, third person singular, present, indicative, active, he continues to take the bread. And he gives to them. And the fish, likewise, in the same matter. Remember when something like this happened before? When he multiplied the bread and the fish, when the little boy had two fish and so many loaves of bread? 21, verse 14. Tuto a day. Triton. Ephana rothe. Jesus. Tois mathetes. Egadres. Ek necron. And already this is the third time, tritone, the third time, already that little adverb of time, already this, the third time, that word this is a demonstrative pronoun. He was manifested, he caused himself to be manifested, Jesus, to the disciples, having raised, been raised out of the dead ones. Look at that, out, ek nikron. What is that now, brother? Ek nikron. Out of the dead ones. What case is that in? Oblative plural masculine. 21 verse 15. Now we're getting close to the end. Here we have a beautiful story. And this is when you need to know the difference between agapeo and phileo. Okay? This is very important. So now put your thinking caps on. Okay? Do you love me? Do you love me? That's the story here. Do you love me? Hote un aris teson lege to simoni petro ho esus simon uanu agapas me, pleon tuto lege ato ne kurie si oidas hote philo si lege ato baske ta ania mu. Now, pay very close, because I've heard very few preachers preach this as it is, unless they heard me do it. Because most of them get this one wrong. Okay? When therefore they broke their fast, he says to the Simon, Peter, the Jesus, Simon, son of John, Simon of John or from John. It don't make any difference, right? It can be ablative or genitive. He came from John, but he was of John. He was John's son too. All right? And then he says, will you give your life for me? Do you love me so much that you'll give your life for me? Now before, remember there at Gethsemane? What happened? Jesus had told Simon Peter, he said, I will give my life for you. They'll never arrest you. And he said, Peter, let it be. This has got to be this way. He said, they will never arrest you. I will give my life. And he did risk his life there. But then, within 6 hours, he had denied his Lord how many times? Three times. Now, we're going to see that Jesus is asking him something three times. Repeats it. Will you give your life for me? Agapas. Second person singular present, indicative active. Agapeo. Will you give your life for me? Do you love me enough to give your life to me? How many, Penny, when you were raising your children, was there ever a time that they, one of them was in terrible danger, and that you would have given your life to save them? I'll never forget a time, never forget this, as long as I live. I have done things to save my boys' lives and things, you know, off and on, but there's one time that just scared me to death. I was going out on Saturday visitation, and my oldest boy, Jimmy, he said, Dad, can I ride my bike up and down the street? I said, Jimmy, be very careful. Be very careful on your bike. You can ride it, but be very careful. And I had somebody with me, and we were down here, and about 200 yards down the road, 250 yards, about 3 or 4 minutes or 5 minutes after I told him he could ride his bike, I heard a car scream, and it hit a boy on a bicycle, and the car was on top of the boy and on top of the bicycle. I started crying. I just knew that my son was killed. I started running down there just crying, tears just streaming down. I ran. I didn't drive. I ran. I ran down there, and when I got there, I realized it was another little boy. And I saw Jimmy standing up. I was so relieved, and yet I was so sorry for the boy. The little boy got killed. But I would have given my life for my son. Like that. That's what this word means. Do you love me to the point of giving your life? Because Jesus loved him. Remember that Jesus kept saying, John kept saying, the disciple that Jesus loved. That's the word he used, because did Jesus give his life for John? Did he give his life for you tonight? Has he given his life for you? You love me more than these things. And he says to him, yes, Lord, you have known. You have known that I like you. He did not say love. He said, I like. I'm fond of you. And he says to him, Bosque. The word old, remember Bosco? Remember they used to have the stuff Bosco, you put in milk and make this drink out of Bosco? It's feed the young lambs of mine. My young lambs. Feed my young lambs. John 10, chapter talks about the good shepherd, remember. Psalm 23. John 10 is a repetition of Psalm 23. And now, 21 verse 16, pay very close attention. Lege auto, Pauline deuteron, Simon uanu, agapas me, lege auto, ne curie, si oidas, hote philo, si, lege auto, poimane, ta probata mu. And he says to him again the second time, Simon, son of John, Simon belonging to John and from John, will you give your life for me? Do you love me so much that would you go give your life for me? Do you love me with a sacrificial and godly love? And he says to him, Peter says to him, yes, nay. Nay in Greek means yes. Okay? That's a particle of affirmation. Yes, Lord, you have known. Look at that word, have known again. You have known that I like you. I like you. I like you. What's the difference between like and love? Who knows the difference between like and love? Penny, do you know what the difference between like and love? When you like somebody and you love somebody, there's a lot of difference in it. That's a lot of difference in it. But Peter wouldn't say he loved him, would he? He wouldn't tell him he loved him. He said, you know that I like you. And he says to him, you shepherd, you become a shepherd to the probata, the young sheep of me. Now, the other ones were the baby lambs. Now, these are the young sheep. Young sheep go astray all the time, don't they? When they get out there and the young sheep, what do they do? You see them bouncing around? They'll bounce around. How many of them look like they have springs on their legs? You've seen that, Brother Mike. They just bounce around all over, and a little old lamb will be bouncing around, and all of a sudden he bounces over the fence. And he can't get across because he bounced over there, but he doesn't know how he did it. So he's lost. He's out there where trouble is, you know. Verse 17 now. Remember all the different words for love and like. Legeauto. To triton. Simon Ewanu. Phileis me ilipethe. Ho Petros, hote epain, auto to triton, phileis me, kai lege auto kyrie, panta si oidas, si gnoskes, hote phileise, philose, lege auto baske, ta probata mu. And he says to him the third time, Simon, son of John, belonging to John, do you like me? Didn't ask him if he loved him now. He said, do you like me? Am I your friend? Remember, people are fond of a lot of things. Have you ever seen somebody that liked to argue? Mm-hmm. Have you? Have you seen somebody that liked to argue?
Recreation.
Like to argue. They're just fond of arguing. Fond of fighting. Have you ever seen somebody that's a brawler? They don't argue. They fight. They are. They're fond of it. But now he says, do you like me? Are you my friend? And he was cut down. He was grieved. He was crying. The Peter. Peter is bawling. He's crying. His heart is broken. It comes from lupeo. Lipeo. Lipio means to have pain in your heart and pain in your mind and to cry and to weep. He was deeply grieved to his soul, the Peter, because he said to him the third time, do you even like me? Do you even like me? And he says to him, Lord, Master, Jehovah, all things you have known and understood. You know now and continue to know that I like you. I'm fond of you, but I don't know whether I can give my life for you. That's what Peter said. I don't know whether I can do it or not, Jesus. I failed you 3 times. I have failed you. And now I don't know whether I can do it or not. I don't know whether I can do this. And he says to him, you feed Bosque, you feed, second person singular, present imperative active, from Bosco, the probata, these are the sheep of me. These are the productive sheep. These are the ones that need to be shared. These are the ones that need to be tended. These are the ones that are having babies. All right? This is the flock. Keep my flock together, Peter. This is going to be one of your jobs. This is one of your jobs. Now, the fulfillment of this is in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. Peter did become a pastor. Peter became a good apostle. Peter did die for his Lord. And now in 21 and verse 18, he is scared to death. Jesus scared him. Amen, amen, lego. Sui, hote, eis, neoteros, eisonies, siauton, kai, peripates, hupo, etheles, hoton, de, gerases. That we get the word geritol from that. Geriatric. Ectenes, tas keres, su, kai, alos, si, zose, kai, oese, hupo, u, theles. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, this is a comparative, younger, when you were a youngster, you kept on girding yourself. And you kept on walking about where you kept on wishing to go. But when you grow older in the faith, is what he's talking about, you shall stretch out the hands of you, all right? The hands of you, and others you shall gird. They will tie you up, and they shall carry you where you don't wish to go. What he said here is you are going to be crucified. Your hands are going to be stretched out. They're going to be nailed just like mine were, Peter. This is what's going to happen to you. How did you think Peter felt there, Brother Mike? Shock. He's shocked. Peter, you're going to die for me. You will love me with a sacrificial love. You will, Peter. Oh. You ever seen somebody get so sick that they vomited? Get scared? Out on the front lines they do that, don't they, Brother Roger? They do that. Scare, fear. Just tears them up. Now, 21 verse 19. Toto de epain. Semianon. Poi thanatu. Doxase. Ton theon. Kai tuto. Epain. Lege auto. Akuluthe moi. Now, I'm trying to finish this chapter tonight. I hope you don't mind. We're going to run over a little bit. But we'll start 1 Timothy next week that way. Is that all right with you guys? If you have to leave, you can. And this he said, signifying by what sign? By signing, signifying by what death he should glorify the God. Oh, boy. Peter knew this. He said, Peter, you're going to give your life for me. Yes, you are. Peter wasn't sure about it right now, but Jesus was. And this, having said, he says to him, you follow me. You follow me. Follow me. Just follow me. Boy, what a revelation, huh? You're going to die for me, Peter. Yeah, you will. You will give your life for me. You're going to be crucified, Peter, just like I was. They had just seen Jesus crucified days before. They had seen these other people crucified. They saw the pain, and Peter said, oh, no. Oh, no. Epistropses. Ho Petros. Blepe. Ton mathetein. Hon agape. Ho Jesus. Akuluthonto. Hos kai anepesin. Ento deipno. Epito stathos. Autu kai epen. Kyrie. Tis esten, ho paradidos, si. And having turned to Peter, he sees the disciple whom Jesus kept on loving, following. And he says, who also, now, who also he literally, this word, anep, pese, it comes from ana and pipto. Pipto means what? To stumble or to fall. And ana means what? Up. He fell up on Jesus' breast. When they were at the table. Remember, they're laying down, and he rolls over there and falls on Jesus. he follows up on him. Okay? This is the one that leaned on his chest at the dinner, and he asked him who the one that was going to betray him. In the supper, upon the breast of him, and he said, Lord, who he is, the one betraying you? This is when he was asking about Judas Iscariot. 21:21. Tuto un edon ho petros lege to eson. Esu, that is. Kyrie hutos de ti. This therefore, having seen the Peter, he says to the Jesus, Lord, this one, what about him? What about him? What's he going to do? Now this is prophecy. What about John? What's going to happen to John? Now you just told me I'm going to be crucified. What about him? Let's see what the answer of Jesus is. Lege autu ho Jesus. Hey, you're getting pretty good at this. E naton. Thilo mene. Eos. Erkamai, T pros, you get? Are you catching on here again, Penny? Si, su, moe, akuluthe. And he says to him, the Jesus. Remember who the Jesus is there? What about Jesus there? What part of the sentence is it, Brother Roger? Okay, that's because we see a hole in front of it. That's a nominee singular mass and definite article. And then we have a third class, or let's see. Right here we have a first-class conditional particle. And what makes it a first-class conditional particle is that word thilo there. It is in the indicative mode. So this is not a third class. This is a first-class conditional particle. And he says to him, since him I wish to remain until I come for myself again, the second coming, what to you? You follow me. Don't worry about John. You follow me. He said, if I let him live until I came again, so what? Now, we know John is not going to live till Jesus comes back. But from that period of time on, now we have old hearsay. Now we have how legends are started. 21 verse 23. Exel thane, un hutos, ho logos, estus adelphos, hote ha mathetes, ekinos, uk, apo theneske, uk epen de auto ho Jesus. Hote uk apo theneske, all eon auton telo menain, eos erkamai ti prosi. Anyone out there for this one, the word unto the brothers, that the disciple, that one, not he's going to die. He's not going to die. Now they just took this at full value that he wasn't going to die. But it was a what? It was an exaggeration. It was a statement. Peter, worry about yourself. Don't worry about John. And not, he said to him, the Jesus, that not he dies. But if him I wish, or since him I wish to remain until I come, what to you? All right, what to you? All right, 24. We've got two verses left. Hutos, esten ho mathetes, ho maturion, peri tuton, kai gropsos, tauta, kai oidaman, hote alethes, uto, auto that is, ho materia esten. And this one, he is disciple, the one witnessing, concerning these things, and having written these things, and we know that true of him the witness he is. John said, I'm writing you the truth. This is absolute fact. I'm swearing on the Bible. He's writing the Bible. All right. 25, the last verse. Esten de kai Allah pola ha epoesen ho Jesus hetina Eon graphete, kath hen ud auton, oime, ton cosmon, korese, ta graphomena, biblia. And it is also other things many, which is he did, the Jesus, which if
They were written down. They may be written down. So look at that word, third person singular, present, subjunctive, passive. They may be caused to be written down. Just as one and of itself, I think, the world to contain. Look at that word, to contain. First aorist, infinitive, active, kōreisei, say. To contain the things having been written. Scrolls. The world couldn't handle it. The world couldn't handle all of this. If we saw everything that Jesus had done and accomplished, the world couldn't contain it. I don't think the world would want it, would they? Thank you for being with me and staying a little later tonight. I wanted to finish this tonight. I've wanted to finish the Gospel of John ever since I didn't finish it when I taught it 16, 18 years ago here. We went on to the book of Revelation. They kept pestering me to go on to the book of Revelation. Well, now I have finished all the Gospel of John in 95 classes. Thank you for hanging in there with me. Good to have you here tonight. Did you get something out of this? This is some beautiful stuff here. Do you love me? Do you love the Lord that much? He knows whether you do or not, doesn't he? He knows whether you do or not. God bless you. Let's have a word of prayer. Go out and do something eternal. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you gave me the life to go to be here and to preach the rest of this book. I wanted so much to get it out there so people could learn it and learn the wonderful jewels and pearls that are in your word that just doesn't come out of English. Thank you for allowing me that privilege and that honor of teaching this book. Be with us as we go out. Help us to glorify you in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen.
So I keep working on a quick way to download the lessons at once so that I can listen to